Okay, so we were up to last time. We got up to Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Let's start from where it says Shmuel, Amar Shmuel. The issue, of course, last time having to do with these tie downs, hold down straps that would fasten a door or a lid to the ground. So Shmuel says Chosamos, which are these seals or straps or bands or some kind of fastener thing that would, chains, belts, cords, cables, I don't know, something that's holding the thing down to the ground. Shabikarka, Matir, Avalomaf Giva, and you need to get inside, you need to get the contents out. The Shmuel says Matir, you're allowed to untie it or undo the strap or the knot. But you're not allowed to detach or cut the rope, because that's going to be a problem of soser. And Shmuel is saying, and there's no heter of soser of a binyan for getting the contents out. But shebekalim, but if we're not talking about the seal of the on the structure, we're just talking about a kli, like a box or something. So then you can just snip off, you can just cut the strings that are holding the box closed to get inside. Matir umafkia vechoseich, no restrictions on that, because there's no din of binyan and a kli, at least to the extent of forbidding this, getting the contents out. And he says, even echad Shabbos vechad yantif, and there's no difference between Shabbos and yantif for all of these purposes. So now, Shmuel's an Amora. Whenever an Amora issues a ruling like this, you always have to try to test it against Mishnayos and Braisos, against the Tanoim, see whether you either get support or you get a disproof from sources. And so let's take a look. Meisave, the Gemara says, we have a Braisa that seems to be against this. Chosamos Shevikarka, if I have this these cords that are holding down the lid onto the ground. So we're talking about a structure. B'Shabbos matir avalo mafkia velo choseich. It says you're allowed to untie it to get to the contents. Avalo mafkia velo choseich. But you can't, of course, detach and cut. So far this has been consistent with Shmuel. But b'yom tov matir mafkia velo choseich. But yantif, anything's allowed. And it's against Shmuel, because Shmuel doesn't make a chiluk between Shabbos and yantif. And that's that. The yantif piece is against Shmuel. The Gemara answers for Shmuel, Hamani Rebbe Meir he. Well, that doesn't matter for Shmuel, because Shmuel understands that brisa to be only Rebbe Meir's sheet. The Rebbe Meir is extra makel about these kinds of things, like from our Mishnah. The Rebbe Meir of our Mishnah that said that af poches lechad chilav en otel. Rebbe Meir who said that you're even allowed to disassemble the structure in order to get to the food. And then the Gemara had a little question of exactly what we're talking about there. But the point being that there is a machlokes ha-tanoim about how far you can allow breaking a structure for the sake of getting out the contents. And the Gemara said that was specifically a yantif machlokes that we just had a couple of lines earlier. So that's what's going on. Shmuel says, well, that's why. Of course, you have a braisa that's going to be more makel than me, because that brisa presumably is Rebbe Meir's shita, but I, Be'ana, Upliga Rabbanan Alei Be'ana Diyamika Rabbanan. But the other Tanoim hold that he's wrong, that he's being too makel, and I'm holding Lechumra like the other Tanoim, and therefore the fact that there's a brisa that holds that on Yanta, if you could be makel about this, doesn't disprove my shita, because there's a machlokas about that very point, and I am holding Lechumra. Mar says, not so fast. What are you talking about? But is it really true that the other Tanoim hold against Rabbi Meir when it comes to these, to cutting the binds, the ropes, on the structure? Behatanya Modim Chachamim le Rabbi Meir bechos mos Rabbi Karka shebe Shabbos Matir avelo mafkia velo choseich ubiyantif Matir umafkia vechoseich. But there's this other brisa This is always the way it goes, is that we kind of are introduced one at a time to relevant brises. Even though, of course, by the time the Amoraim are putting all this together, they had all these brises available to them that they want to present, but that's the way they present the brises to us, the readers here of the Gemara, is that they introduce us one at a time to relevant brises, as if they've just discovered them. So now we're seeing but there's a brisa that says that the Chachamim are moda to Rabbi Meir, the Chosama Shabekarka, that on Shabbos you can only untie them, but on Yontif you're even allowed to be Matir Umafkiya v'Chosech, even though it's a Karka thing, and potentially it's a violation of Soser, of the structure, because the ropes are intended to be permanently there, only the knot is intended to be done or undone. But if you're gonna bypass that and detach the whole cable that's holding it down, then that would be so sir. So that's what Shmuel says you're not allowed to. But these brises are all saying you are allowed to. The first brise says you're allowed to anonymously, and the second brise says that the Chachamim moded to Rabbi Meir that you're allowed. Then Shmuel, now we're on Lama Beza Amud Aleph. Shmuel says, no, that's not a problem. Who the Amar Ki Haitana? Now, let me tell you, I know I have another Braisa that's relevant here, and that will explain everything. Who the Amar Ki Haitana? Desanya, Chosamas Shebekarka, Matir, Avalo Mafgiya, Velo Choseich, Echad Shabbos Ve'echad Yantif. Well, so this is, you know, this is who the Amar is in Shmuel. This is the other Amoraim are kind of answering for Shmuel. That Shmuel's okay, because Shmuel is supported by the following Brisa, which is going to be against the first Brisa and the second Brisa. And therefore, Shmuel's okay. So here's what the Brisa says that they were able to find in support of Shmuel. Chosa Moshe Bekarka Matir, Avalo Mafkiya Velo Choseich. Right, if you have a tie down onto the ground, you're allowed to undo the knot, but you're not allowed to detach the whole cable. Echad Shabbos v'Echad Yontif, and that's true. Bein b'Shabbos, bein b'Yontif. So right away, we're exactly consistent with what Shmuel says. But then it goes on and it causes trouble. B'Shev Kli b'Shabbos Matir v'Lo Mafkiya v'Lo Choseich, and b'Yontif Matir Mafkiya v'Choseich. So the problem is that although it's true that this particular brisa supports Shmuel on the matter of karka, but when it comes to the kli, Shmuel said anything goes when it comes to a kli. You could just cut off the ropes that are tying the kli together, even on Shabbos. Shabbos Yontif is all the same. So this brisa doesn't say that.
Is this similar to what we would say today with opening a can on Shabbos?
Yeah, it should be the same, although I wouldn't say opening the can. I might say more like cutting the string that goes around the box, kind of a thing, a cake box, kind of a string. And maybe it's about the bands on the cap of the kli. I don't know about opening the whole can altogether.
That might be on the opening of a milk bottle. You know, when you pull that off.
Okay, it may be something like that, but that is going to have its own problems.
You're making another kli out, right?
Yeah, that's going to maybe be more relevant to something that we might be discussing a little bit later on. But the point being that these ropes are entirely separate from the box or the lid or the tie down or the thing. See, they're a separate thing. As opposed to when it's a piece of the thing itself that you want to try to cut a hole into, then that has its own rules in it. It may not be the same.
The Poland Springs water bottles, you know, the ones that you just take off this little piece. Not this, you know.
The gallon
pieces. No. It's the ones like they're sports bottles. In order to open up, you just break off this one little...
The cap itself.
No.
You pop the cap off, you mean.
I know, but there's a little piece that you pull off that allows you to now open the cap.
So that's got to be the same thing. Question of manufacturer, about whether that thing is a piece of the original cap and it was just fit on that way so that you snap it off so that it's not in the way and then you can pull it off, or was it a separate piece
it's
that
separate
they attach
piece.
Onto it? So then, okay, so it'd be like that. So what about on Yontif? It says here about the kli. The kli... Shmuel says anything goes and you're allowed to even cut the strap off of the kli. But over here, this brisa, which was supposed to be the source of, or at least the support for Shmuel's din, supports him on the karka, but not on the kli. The Gemara says, Tirtzis lach resha. So fine, you were able to answer why the reisha, why the first part of this braisa, namely the karka rule, defends Shmuel, but ela seifa kasha. But the second half of this braisa is going lahachmir, and it doesn't allow mafkiya v'choseich on Shabbos. Right? That's what's not allowed. We're not allowing mafkiya v'choseich on Shabbos. And Shmuel said that a kli matir mafkiya v'choseich, whether it's Shabbos or Yantiv. So that was the problem. In other words, this brace is being too mafmir now. So the Gemara says, well, let me explain. Ha'mani Rebbe Nechemyah. The Gemara says, well, yes, that's true. This braisa is not in perfectly alignment with Shmuel, but it's okay. Because the part of the braisa that goes against Shmuel, which is being machmir about snipping or breaking off the strap on a kli on Shabbos, that we can account for, because we know there are Tanoim who hold that way. So we can just say that this braisa presumably is following that particular shita in Tanoim, and there's no reason to hold like that particular shita on that issue. So now we're being told split the two issues separately. The question about breaking the band and the question about how you're going to break the band, which is a separate question. So that's what we're going to see in a second. Let's take a look. The Gemara says, oh, Hamani Rebbe Nechemyah. Oh, no, that's different. The fact that this braisa just asserts that you can't cut the band of the kli on Shabbos, that's not a problem for Shmuel, because that particular viewpoint is Rabbi Nechemyah, the Tana Rabbi Nechemyah's viewpoint, and we know about his shita, and we're going to present it over here again, and we're not going to paskin like it. So let's take a look. Rabbi Nechemyah, the Yomar, Kol ha-kelim eini tolamela derech tashmishan. No, Rabbi Nechemyah happens to have a very strict rule with respect to kelim on Shabbos, that all kelim on Shabbos may not be muktzah per se, but the heter of handling kelim on Shabbos, which for our purposes we know that ordinary kelim shemalachtin leheter can be even moved mechama letzel for whatever purpose, virtually not restricted. Rabbi Nechemyah says, no, that's not true. Even if a kli is not like a kli shemalachta le'iser, which would have a lot of restrictions on it, but even a kli shemalachta le'heter has restrictions. What are the restrictions for Rabbi Nechemyah? Is that a kli is only allowed to be handled, only to use it in the typical use for this particular kli, and therefore, he says, what would be the kli that would normally snip a cable or a band, or rope, it would be some kind of a shears. And the shears, this is the way Rashi understands what the Gemara is assuming all along. A shears is like for food. It's not really for cable cutting. I don't understand why. Okay, they didn't have cable cutters. What can I tell you? Yeah, that's what it looks like. That's what they would have, or they would use a knife, which is a regular, ordinary table knife, and they wouldn't be using a box cutter and whatever. So the point being, there just isn't a practical way to cut the thing, because you're not allowed to handle the tool that would allow you to cut the thing on Shabbos. So that's Rabbi Nechemyah holds kol ha-kelim eini talim ela derech tashmishan. You have to handle any kind of a kli on Shabbos is derech tashmishan, is for the typical use of the way this kli was intended to be used. So then the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. E Rebbe Nechemyah, Ma'ir Yeshabbos, Afilu Yantif Nami. So hold on a second, I don't understand. If it's Rebbe Nechemyah's Shita, that you're saying that this Braisa, oh no, it can't be, this isn't a problem. This Braisa is being Machmir about cutting the cable. That's because that's Rebbe Nechemyah's Shita. But if you look at the Braisa, you see what that can't be, because this Braisa doesn't allow it on Shabbos, but it does allow on Yantif, and doesn't Rabbi Nechemyah hold the Chumra even on Yantif? Isn't that Muktzah definition relevant on Yantif too? Mar says, Ma'ir Yeshabbos, Afil Yantif Nami. V'chitema, Shani Le Rabbi Nechemyah Bein Shvus Shabbos or Shvus Yomtov. What are you going to tell me? That Rabbi Nechemyah distinguishes between his Shita with respect to the Muktzah of Shabbos versus Yantif? But which would be a good answer, because that would be nice. Because if that's true, so then we're good. So then this braisa was only being machmer on Shabbos, not on Yantif. Shmuel wasn't holding like Reb Nechemya in the first place, so there's no reason to be machmer Beim Shabbos Beim De Yantif, but we need to be able to at least find a precedent for this Reb Nechemya's Shita only applying to Shabbos, not Yantif. The Gemara says, Umishan Yalei, Vihatani Chada, Masikim Bekalim, Bein Masikim Beshivri Kalim. Betanya Irech, Masikim Bein Bekalim, Bein Beshivri Kalim. Betanya Irech, Ein Masikim Lo Bekalim, Velo Beshivri Kalim, Umishani, Lokasha Harab Yidah, Harab Yishim, and Harab Nechemya. So the Gemara says, well, you know, there's a kind of a well understood tradition that we have as follows. We have three brises that describe on Yontif. Now, this is now talking about Yontif. What kind of fuel can you throw into a fire on Yontif to cook on? So there's one brisa that says, well, you could throw, well, and the question not being can you throw firewood? Obviously, that's what you could do. But the question is, can you throw? So, you know, like I threw out, I don't know, a wood like a clee that I don't need. Like, I don't know, a broken pencil or something, or some other wood clee chair. That I don't care about. Broken chair. Okay, broken chair. Can I instead of just leaving that in the garbage, can I throw that into a fire? It's a broken clee. Or it's an intact clee. It's just that it's cheap and I need the fire to go. So can I throw in a functional clee? I don't know, a working clee. The Gemara says this. Well,
leftover plywood.
Well, no, as also, a clee could also be like clothing. Like, can I throw in some old clothes that I don't need anymore? That kind of a thing. So it says here, Masikin Bekalim. One brisa says, sure, you can throw in a clee, you can throw in a broken clee, no prob. And then there's another brisa that says, well, you can throw in a clee, but not a broken clee. Not a broken clee. And the point of the broken clee being, like, why not broken? So Rashi just points out, well, you would figure if it's broken clee, if that's almost automatically firewood, because what else is it going to be? And Rashi says, no, it only broke on Yontif itself. So now, when Yontif began, it was a regular clee and it had a normal use. But then it became broken on Yontif. Then the question is there such a rule of muktza by virtue of the fact that it was not intended to be firewood at the beginning of the day, but now I want it to be used as kind of firewood? So that sounds like a muktzah issue. So the first brisa says, yeah, go right ahead. Second brisa says, no, you can't use a broken clee because of muktzah concerns. And the third brisa says, ein masikin lo b'kelim v'lo b'shivkim. You can't use a full clee either. Well, why not? Well, so that we understand why, because that's Rabbi Nechemya says you can't handle any clee other than for its specific purpose. And if a kli is not firewood, a kli is supposed to be used for its purpose. And like the clothing has to be used as clothing. So Mishani, lo kasha, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Shimon holds that there's no muktzah, so you're allowed to use whichever one of these things you want. Rabbi Yehuda holds of muktzah, therefore it can't be a shivri kli. And Rabbi Nechemya has this whole chumra. And this is going on Yantiv. So you see that you can't answer that Shabbos versus Yantiv. That Rabbi Nechemya's rule is only Shabbos and not Yantiv, because we're praying this brisa over here even on Yantiv. And the Gemara answers, well, you're going to be forced to say, Trei Tanoi Alibad Rabbi Nechemya. You're going to be forced to admit that that's true. That's true. This brisa is clearly holding the Rabbi Nechemya's chumra is even true on Yantiv. But Shmuel, it must be holding that Rabbi Nechemya elsewhere is only on Shabbos and not on Yontif. Okay, it's a little bit vague because that's kind of a weak thing. We didn't prove that he holds that way. It's like he was asserting that there must be another version of Rabbi Nechemya that splits in order for Shmuel to be consistent with the known views among the Tanoim. In order to make that brisa, this is all happening in order to explain how that first brisa on the top of the page could be ascribed to Rabbi Nechemya, even though it seems to be problematic because it expresses a view of Rabbi Nechemya that wouldn't be consistent with a known other view of Rabbi Nechemya. But we have to assert, in order for this to work out, that the top brisa represents a different version of Rabbi Nechemya's Shita. You know, we're talking about brisas, and we're not entirely sure exactly where we stand on who's the one presenting the brisa. So the claim is being made, the Amorim, that brisa represents a Rabbi Nechemya Shita that splits. There's one that's different from the version of Rabbi Nechemiah Shita over there. One or the other of these is wrong, but the only question is does it exist as a valid basis for Shmuel the Amora's psak here on the side? So the Gemara is content with that. That's good enough that we've at least not demolished Shmuel's Shita by virtue of known Tanoim holding against him. Okay, the next Mishnah says, Ein pochsin es haner, b'pnei she'os a kli. You're not allowed to poches a ner. When you think of the word ner, don't think candle. Everything is just complicated when you think candle in these Mishnahs. A ner, you have to think of a little bowl of oil that has a wick in it, and that's how you're going to get your illumination. So a ner is that little bowl. So it says here, Ein pochsin es haner. You're not allowed to smush the ner, which means to make a ner. The point of this Mishnah is you're not allowed to smush a bit of clay. Now, this is Rashi's interpretation. Rashi gives you a pshat, and Tosis don't like it at all. And it's very hard to defend Rashi against Tosis' strong kashas against them. And the Shulchan Aruch, it only quotes Rashi, and the Achronim do accept the Tosis' version of things also. So you may as well just stick to the Rashi and not be bothered by their kashas. Rashi interprets that what's going on here is they take a lump of clay. I take a lump of clay and I smush it into a little bowl shape and I'm good to go. And that's the kli. So the question is, can I do that kind of a thing on Yantif to make a nair? That's called making a nair. We would call that, I don't know, smushing around some clay and making a little bowl, but that was good enough for their purposes. What?
Smushing Aramaic?
Yeah, I think smush is the best definition of the word poches according to Rashi. It does the job. Rashi even gives you a picture of how to do this. Take a lump of clay, take your hand, and smush your fist into the clay. In case you don't know how to smush a bowl, that's what he did. That's what
Rashi says.
I'll be Rashi.
Rashi gives you, Rashi would probably have said smushed balaz. So it says here that you're not allowed to because you're making a kli. So that's interesting. Yeah, it's true that it's functional for the purpose of an air, but I mean, it's not really going to last too long this way, apparently. And normally, the point being in all of this is that presumably this is the first step in making ceramic or pottery ware. Like, you're going to start with the clay, you're going to make the shape, but then you have to fire it. You're still going to have to fire the thing to give it some endurance, some durability, some permanence. For it to last, you have to, so right now it's just clay. It's not really fired up yet. So that's the question. The Mishnah is saying that even though it hasn't been fired up, even though it's like this, still clay, but it's functional as is, and therefore not allowed to do that on Yantif. The Enos in Pacham in the Yantif, you're not allowed to make charcoal on Yantif. The Enachos, and we'll talk a little bit in the Gemara about the charcoal issue. The Enachos can is a psila, and you're not allowed to snip a wick. You're not allowed to snip a wick to cut it into. I guess your size that you want. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Choscha Be'ur. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, you can't snip it, that's true, but you can kind of cut it by the fire, by have the fire burn through the wick in the place where you want it to, and then that way you can get it. So the one is going to talk about why that matters and why is that a better, why is that allowed, and we'll see. The one is going to say that it's not really allowed in the way I just described it, but it'll become allowed when you do it the right way. Gemara says, well, hold on a second. It says you're not allowed to pochsin haner. You're not allowed to make the little bowl of clay. Man tana de prisas ner manahu. Now, this is the Gemara. The Gemara often does this. The Gemara loves to find parallels from a particular point being made here. And then there's another particular point that has nothing to do with this issue at all, but happens to resemble in some ways, some significant ways, a kind of an underlying way of thinking about a thing elsewhere that the Gemara, that the Amoraim like to align with what's going on over here. And you'll see what I mean. Gemara says, well, man tana prisas ner manahu. Who is the Tana that we could find among the named Tanaim in Mishnayos or Braisos that just shaping the clay into a little bowl to make a nair will actually count as a kli? Well, we didn't need to find one. This is an unnecessary question because It's right here in our Mishnah. But we're trying to say, no. Is there a parallel somewhere else where we're seeing this phenomenon, that a clay bowl already counts as a kli for other purposes? So Amar of Yosef, we're going to find two suggestions in Amoraim. We have the one Amor finds a parallel in one particular Mishnah, and another one finds a parallel in another particular Mishnah. Both of them in Taharis, unfortunately. And so, okay, we're going to be unfamiliar with the whole underlying laws, but at least that aspect will emerge. Amar of Yosef, Rebbe Meir he. I find this in Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir seems to hold this way. Desanya, because there's a brisa, which on the side I tell you it's a Tosefta in Maseches Kelim, that what? Klei Cheres. Me'emasai Mekabel Tuma. When does a Klei Cheres become Mekabel Tuma? Now, the principle being that Cheres is made, start with clay, and then eventually, you know, you shape it, and then you fire it, that it'll turn to a Klei Cheres. And a Klei Cheres is Mekabel Tuma, and it has its own set of halachos as far as how the Tuma pertains to the Klei. But point being that no Klei is Mekabel Tuma if it's in its initial stages and its non-functional stages. It's only going to be Mekabel Tuma once it is a functional Kli. And so when we get to a Kli Cheres, at what point will we consider this Kli made enough to be Mekabel Tuma? So it says here, well, Misha Nigmar Emelachto. Rashi interprets that line to mean from when it's shaped. Divrei Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yeshua Omer wrong. Rebbe Yeshua the Tana says that's not enough. Misha Yitzarfo b'Kivshan. It's only going to be when you fire it in the Kivshan. Until then, it's just clay. Okay, so what do you see? So you see that Rebbe Yeshua says that until it's fired, it's not a kli. But Rebbe Meir is comfortable considering this thing a kli already, just because it's shaped, even though it's still clay. This is the point that Tosas say this is totally impossible, because while a kli is made of clay, it is not called cheres. It just isn't cheres yet. It's called kli adama. And a kli adama is not mekabel tuma at all. So to also say, the whole thing can't possibly be the picture that Rashi painted for us of this whole thing. And therefore, Tosas have to paint a totally different picture about what this Mishnah is talking about, what it means to have a kli that's a cheres, and prisas a kli, and the ner, and what's going on, and what this machlokus is about, and why this machlokus is related to that machlokus. Okay, that doesn't matter. Rashi is easier. Amar le'abaye. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Shulchan Aruch quotes Rashi's description of what's going on, and the psak according to Rashi. Amar le'abaye. Abaye says to him, Rav Yosef, who suggested this connection, Mimai, I don't see how you can see any connection here. Dilmad kan lo kama Rabbi Meir hasam alu l'chazi l'kabula be'midi. Maybe Rabbi Meir only said that a real bowl. You talk about a real bowl? So then fine. So when is a kli cheres going to be mekabel tuma? If you shape it, that's big. But how big was the little nair? It was a tiny little, you know, I don't know, like a Hanukkah candle, like, size bowl. So that little thing. Why would you think that would count as a kli for anything? Aval haha, lemai chazi. What in the world could you use that little kli for? So I don't really understand exactly what he means. I mean, you could use it for an air. I don't exactly understand what the logic was, but anyway, it was
an
kind
ashtray.
Of what?
An ashtray.
You could use it as an ashtray, for example. But anyway, and that's pretty much going to be the answer. But the point is that the Gemara, I don't know, for some reason felt that this was a problem. So the Gemara says, well, we could come up with something. It says, L'kabula be'pshite. Now, what do you mean? Even a little kli like that is functional because it can be used to hold pshite. What are pshite? Either needles or toothpicks or some little kinds of things like that. Or ash.
M&M's.
Okay. Or a candy dish.
It depends if it's a Mother's Day present or a Father's Day present.
Exactly.
It's a Mother's Day present.
Mother's Day present,
you
can deal with
it. That's a cigarette candy.
Okay. So in any case, the Gemara says here, fine, Rabbi Meir would agree. It doesn't matter how small the thing is, it's functional even when it's a clear, therefore you can see a parallel in Rabbi Meir Shita and in what our Mishnah is saying. Good. The Gemara wasn't trying to say, and therefore we should or we shouldn't accept what it says in this Mishnah. It was just trying to find a parallel. Ikad the Amri, the Gemara has another version of the Amoraim here, trying to find parallels among Tanoim. Kadiamri, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, another version has Rav Yosef locating a parallel Tana in Rabbi Eliezer Bar Tzadok. The Sanan, because here's what it says in a Mishnah in Adios. Says, Ilfasin Acharanios, Tahoros Beohalameis, Utmeos Bemasa Hazav. So here's the Tanakama holds. Tanakama of this Mishnah in Adios says that if I have these Ilfasin Acharanios, these Kalim, that we'll talk about what these things are, but essentially they amount to, at least according to Rashi again, to flat plates. Okay, flat plates. That's really all you need to know about them. But the, by virtue of their being flat, they don't have a carve out a concave portion, in which case then there's no concavity to be able to hold things other than things that can sit on a table, something like that. So it's a flat cleat. So that's why it says Tahoros bi ohal ha-meis. She says that the Tanakama holds that these things are Tahor and ohal ha-meis in the sense that by definition a kli needs to have kol ha-shipol el tocho yitma. A kli charis is only mitame what's inside it. And this thing doesn't have an inside, it doesn't have a concavity. So it is it's Tahoros bi ohal ha-meis, utmeos b'masa hazav. But there's a din. Rashi claims that there's a din that, but if I zav, who's an Adam Tami, who's a Tamei Rishon, who's Metami Beheset, moves the Kli, then Heset even applies to the objects on the Kli Charis, on the Kli Charis itself, I guess. And so Rashi says that the Tanakama holds that this thing is a Kli, it's Mekabel Tuma, and it's a flat Kli. And Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Af Tahoros B'masa Hazav. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, no, it's not even going to be Mekabel Tumas Heset, Lefi Shelo, Nigmar Malachtam, because it hasn't been shaped. So the implication being that the only thing that it was lacking was it hadn't been shaped properly. And Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok, would say that as long as you shape it, that'll be then it would. Then he would concede it would be Mekabel Tuma, and it would have a toch, and it would count as a kli, and so there you go. So you see that shaping the clay is going to be enough to make the thing into a kli, according to this version. Amalei Abaye. So the same kind of a thing happened. Abaye, in this version, reputedly attacks Rav Yosef with Dilmad kan lo kama Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Tzadok asam ala dechazi lekabuli b'midi. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Tzadok only said that about a big plate, because once you shape it, it's functional. Avalachalamaychazi, Gemara says the same answer, lekabuli b'pshiti. Okay, but you can also hold little things in the little bowl also. Okay, that was the end of this whole discussion of the parallels that exist in the Mishnah that forbids you from shaping the clay in order to make a ner. Tana Rabban, there's a braisa. Ein pochsin es haner. Here, braisa now says you're not allowed to. Just a kind of a collection of things that you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. Ein pochsin es haner. You're not allowed to shape a little ner bowl for the oil to be a ner. Ein osin ilfasin charanios bi Yom Tov. You're not allowed to make ilfas and charanios, these flat plates, on Yantif. And the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, matir b'ilfas and charanios. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel doesn't see any problem. What's wrong with making ilfas and charanios? The Gemara says, what are those things? Ilfas and charanios. Now, an ilfas is generally a pan. An ilfas is a pan, which is a kind of a somewhat large flat surface, or pan. And charanios is a funny word. It sounds like charanios, like from charan, the charan versions of pants. Where it says, my charanios. Amar Rav Yehuda, aranios. Now, you know, these are the aranios. And where it says, what is that? My aranios. I didn't make it any clearer. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, tzoichak layasa. Now, these are farmer's plates. These are the plates of the farmers. Tzoichak plates. The Rashi explains, and how did that make it any clearer? Rashi says, you know, farmers, they're not effect eaters. They, you know, just give me a flat plate and I'll just put my food on it and I'll be fine. So they don't need the china. They don't need it to be
sophisticated.
Okay. unsophisticated. They are. They eat these kinds of things, right? Okay, it's funny. I don't know. In any case, that's the point that these ilfasin charanios, these flat plates, they don't have a toch, and regular people wouldn't consider them plates yet. And farmers are okay with them.
I once went through like a catering thing. I've seen in other places where they would serve like an appetizer, but they would serve it on a tile. It's dry food, and there's no liquids on it to run off, and they place the items on there, so it's kind of something
nice
like this.
Okay.
Or like a little
so some people look at that and say, "Wow, that's fancy." And other people look at that and saying, that's "Look what they were able to scavenge from the discard pile in the
okay. construction site."
In any case, yeah.
I got leftover piles in Windsor.
Okay.
See you tonight.
Yeah.
Gemara says, well, hang on a second. Let's go back to what it said there in the Mishnah. Ein osen pechamim. Usually there would be a two dots here because we're back in the Mishnah where it says you can't make pechamim. Not allowed to make charcoal. How do you make charcoal, incidentally? How do you make charcoal? Right. Normally charcoal is, you take some ordinary wood and you burn it, but you have to make it kind of a pile, so the burning is going to happen on the outside, but inside you don't get a lot of air, but the heat remains. And so what happens is when you heat the wood in the absence of air, then it burns off all of the non-carbon portions, and then what's left is a very high, richly carbon substance. The advantage of the thing is that it burns hotter. Charcoal burns hotter than regular wood, and it doesn't make a flame. So sometimes the flame gets in the way. And if you just have the burning charcoal that produces the heat, so then that's a better fuel for certain purposes. For regular homeowners, not necessarily a big deal. Barbecues has an advantage, but the Gemara is going to say, you can't make this stuff. Pshita, obviously you can't make charcoal. Lemay chazi, what in the world do you use it for? I'm not exactly sure what's going on over here. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to make charcoal. And what's the Gemara asking? It's saying, of course you're not allowed to make charcoal. Why would you?
What would the purpose be to making charcoal on Yom Tov?
Right.
So why do I need a Mishnah?
Why am I asking this? Is it that it's just curious to know? Or is it saying that I don't need the Mishnah to tell me that?
Right.
Okay, so
how do you use that for Ochal Nefesh, you might, if there's absolutely no utility, so then what would be the Havamin at all?
So the point is that even if you need it for Ochal Nefesh, and so then isn't that the point? Fuzzy for Ochal Nefesh. So what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara doesn't even say that.
Then you would be allowed.
No, the Gemara says,
Two steps removed from Ochal Nefesh. I want to cook my food, so I'm going to make charcoal, and then I'm going to take the charcoal, and then I'm going to cook my food.
So you're saying an interesting thing. So that's where the Gemara is going to kind of... Well, let's take a look. Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Chiya, lo nitzcha ela lemosr en leor liyarin, lebo biyom. Lo nitzcha ela lemosr en leor liyarin, lebo biyom. It says, no. There is a purpose for these things. The bathhouse people who heat up the water... They use this kind of charcoal to heat up the water. So, and they would be doing this on Yontif, and it would be a Yontif purpose. And there you go. See, what was the Havamina? The problem is, Rashi, I think, makes a point over here, both in the Mishnah, I think, and in the Gemara, is that usually the people who would want the coal would be the smiths. Smiths need this kind of stuff, because in order to... I don't know enough about this. I just know that smelting the metal from ore needs charcoal. You can't do it from ordinary fires, and you need specially hot fires. You need a hotter temperature, and therefore, so that's typically what the pechamim would be for, and therefore I kind of understand, like, you're going to tell me that I can't provide the fuel for the smiths or for the miners or for... Okay, understood that you can't do that. But then, like we're saying... But then what's the Havamin? Like, why else would I be interested in making Pechamim? And the Gemara says here, well, because there are some people that would even use the stuff, even for Yontif purposes. It wasn't even imagined that a homeowner would use this for their own cooking and everything. That wasn't what people do. And so, fine. So that's why you're not allowed to. But what iser is it? Is it hachana? What is the iser? So it's what you were describing, which is, it's a funny kind of a thing. What's happening in this line of the Mishnah and in the wick business also is that what we're seeing is, and Rashi explains, this is treated like you're making a kli, which is why it's part of the same Mishnah about shaping the kli into a kli. Mesha usa kli. That we're treating charcoal as a kli. Now, I don't think we would necessarily have thought, of it just as being just a piece of wood that I've just kind of modified a little bit. Like when you take wood and you snap off the sides, it's still a piece of wood. It's not a kli. But whenever, the principle being, whenever you have to process an item, a natural item, into some other item, then it makes it a kli. So that's what Rashi is describing. The iser in what you're doing here is that you are making a kli. Charcoal is treated as a kli. That's interesting to me. I was surprised.
Charcoal is makabel tuma, like a kli or anything?
That's what it would follow, yeah. It would follow like a charcoal is a...
Why do you have to go so far to say that you're making a kli?
Well, the Mishnah is...
It's hachana, and it's not...
But it wouldn't be hachana, because I want to use it today. So if I actually have a purpose today, that's not going to be nisar hachana. So what's stopping me from doing this? It's not the fire, because I'm allowed to use the fire on Yantif, and it's... And it's for the purpose of today.
You're allowed to do the malacha that's necessary to get to the stage of Ochel Nefesh?
No, because that's making the kli.
No,
so that's this.
If it's not making a kli.
So then yeah, why not?
Okay.
I assume that that's the case. You're allowed to carry the things, to make the food, to cook the food, to serve the food. There are a lot of steps that are necessary along the way.
I cut down the tree to have the wood to make the fire?
I would be allowed if cutting down trees would be allowed on Yom Tov, yeah.
But you're saying that's not allowed because it's cutting down a tree.
Right, I mean, it's a different thing. But yeah, malachos that come up along the way. It can make a fire to cook the food. Make a fire, cook the food.
Right,
so that's two separate things. Make the fire is a malacha, cooking the food is a malacha, and I'm allowed to serve. So that's okay. Yeah, so that would be okay. So the answer here is making the charcoal, which is a kli. Okay, so I'm not allowed. The Gemara says, well, hold on a second. The bath, you're not allowed to, you weren't anyway, you're going to be allowed to give the fuel to the bathhouse attendants. It says, Ubobiyam Mishari, Kidiyamar Rava, Mishari. Are you allowed to actually heat up the water and go to the baths on Yantif? That's not allowed. The Gemara says, Rashi says, like, yeah, because they answered that, the Rabbanan. The Gemara says, well, Kidiyamar Rava Lehazia, Bekodim Gezeira. Well, no. We must be talking about the following. First of all, we're not talking about... This Mishnah said you're not allowed to do that, and the explanation is, you know, why would you do that, and what's your incentive, or your motivation, you have some kind of a purpose on Yantif. That was referring to an earlier time before they disallowed bathhouses. And so, at some earlier time, there at least was a use for the thing on Yantif. And so, in any case, they disallowed it, and which is why they tell you you're not allowed to take hot showers. Typically, they tell you you're not allowed to take hot showers on Yom Tov. This Gemara is very clear that the reason why is because of a ban against bathing, a drabbanan ban against bathing in hot water on... Now, that ban was a Shabbos ban. So our Gemara is using it to explain this rule on Yantif also, which is meaning that this Gemara is very clearly taking the position that the prohibition against bathing on Yantif on Yantif is the same ban that was enacted on Shabbos. That's very significant for Bizman Hazeh, Halacha L'maisa. They just talk to the poskim about showering on Yantif nowadays, and this is a primary mucker for that discussion. Where it says, Ein choskenes apsila l'shnayim, you can't cut a wick into two. The other Tana holds, Rabbi Yehuda holds, that you're allowed to by fire. Where it says, Maishna besakin delo. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why aren't you allowed to snip it with a scissors or with a knife? Because they come a sakin mana, because you're making a kli. So, but we're not become a sakin mana. So what's the difference if you did it by a kli, you did it by fire? Where it says, Tani Rabbi Chia choska b'or b'fi shtei neiros. No, you don't understand. It's not you take a string, which is your wick, and then you hold it up over a kind of a fire, and then you separate it once it snaps. That wouldn't be allowed. It doesn't matter if you did that with a blade or with the fire. What you do is you take the wick, and you put the wick, and you fold it over, and you put it into the into the jug of into the cup of oil. So now you have a kind of a folded over wick in the oil, and then you light that. And what's going to happen is just naturally it'll turn into two separate wicks that are actually working, two functional wicks. So now you're good. So now when it burns out, then you're done. In other words, the point being that this is just a solution to the question of, well, what happens if I need the wick cut down? So then there's a way to get it shortened. Amar Rav Nasan. Gee, we're only a full amud. Well, let's say at least get down to the Mishnah. Oh, this is just. I don't know who's up next. You. Try to talk fast. Okay, Amar Rav Nasan Bar Abba. Amar Rav. Okay, yeah, can we go a little bit longer? It's a lot more. Okay, Amar Rav Nasan Bar Abba. Amar Rav. Rav Nasan Bar Abba quotes Rav. Amar Rain. Mochten es apsila beyomtov. Of course, because it's Rav, we don't know what he said. Almost every single statement of Rav, we don't really know what he said. Mochten es apsila beyomtov. The Gemara says, "My mochten." What did he mean? What does mochit mean? Amar Rabbi Chinin, Chanina Bar Shlamia. It means to cut off the charred part of the wick that's building up on the top. We're not familiar with this. 21st century and 20th century and even in the middle of the 19th century, they didn't have wicks that behaved this way. But older wicks would always build up a lot of this black stuff on the top of the wick, and it would interfere with the burning and with the flame, and you'd have to always be snuffing the coal off the top of the wick. And so it says here that you are allowed, mochtin esapsila b'yomtov, you're allowed to do that on yomtov. Liyadui chushcha, tani bar kapara, vavdvarm ne'emra b'psila. Here's a braisa bar kapara, says that there are six things that you're allowed to do with a wick on yomtov. Gimel achmir, gimel hakel. Oh, three of them that you're not allowed to do, but three of them you are allowed to do. Lahachmir is the following. In godlin osel lechatchil, you're not allowed to make a wick by kind of weaving the threads of the wick together, biyatif, that's making the kli. Ein mahavivin osabi ur, you're not allowed to singe the top, which would be apparently effective at making the wick better and not have little bits of the fibers on the side that'll make little sparky things. And ein choskan osalishnayim, and you're not allowed to snip the wick down to size. Lahakia, what you are allowed to do, you're allowed to kind of pick off the coal from the top of the wick, and Rashi says, while it's burning, okay. Shorah b'shemen, you're allowed to soak it in the oil, get it ready for your use, bo b'yom, and choscha b'ur b'fi shtei neiros, like we just said above. B'yom Rav Nasan Bar Abba Amar Rav, and now we get into a whole agadata. Rav Nasan Bar Abba said in the name of Rav, Asirei Bavel, the wealthy people in Bavel, Rav, remember, lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he grew up there, and he moved to Bavel, and he found all rotten conditions there in Bavel, and he pretty much tried to rehabilitate the whole place. Rav says, Asirei Bavel yardei gehenim heim. The wealthy people of Bavel are going to hell. Kiha, I don't know if he was wishing them to go to hell, or if he was actually predicting that they were going to, one way or the other, he says it's not so good. Ki hadish the shabsai bar Mirena sikla lebavel, because he's telling a story of what happened to Shabsai bar Mirena. He came to Bavel ba minayu iska velo yahavule, and so he was interested in doing some business over there, and they did not help him. And Mizone. So then, you know, so he had nothing. So he asked them for them to give him some food, I guess. I don't know, or provide something. Anyway, Mazen Nami Lo Zainuhu, and they wouldn't provide anything, nothing. So they were not very charitable, apparently. I guess that's the way. There must be a lot of ways of interpreting exactly what's going on over here in this Agadah. But in any case, that's what it seems. What?
Wasn't Pesach.
Ah, certainly not. Pesach. Amar.
Those are wealthy people.
So now he had a comment about this, and he says, look, people who are not charitable, or not Rachmanim, Hani Me'erev Rav Kostu. These are not natively Jewish people. They don't have Jewish genes. Dechsiv, like it says in the Pasuk, V'nasan lechem rachamim, v'richamcha, kol ha'merachim ala brios, b'yaduash mizera shel, zara shel Avraham Avinu. Kol she'enam rachim al abrius. Anybody who doesn't have natural sympathy to people, charitable inclinations, v'yadua she'enam yizar shel Avram Avinu, and not really real members of the family. V'yamarav nasan bar Abba amarav. The Shulchan Aruch actually uses this as a kind of a test, you know, when you're trying to marry into a family or something. This is a way to tell whether you have reason to suspect that somebody they're not really from.
This is a put down to Gerim, though.
It's a good point. Right, everybody kind of wonders about this, about Gerim may have very fine qualities, but they're still not native members of the family, and so you have all kinds of ways to answer that question. Some people take the view that their DNA rearranges when they become Jewish. And so then they develop this if they're genuine gay. What?
Don't we talk about that in the Maggid at the Seder? Is this that we talk about that we welcome everybody and even a gair is like as if you were from
right, but this
essential.
Is talking about your genetic makeup, right? What is your instincts? So, and we're talking about inheriting that from Avram Avinu. So a gair is coming into the group, but how do you know they're going to pick up the same...
It may not be using it as a literal sense. As maybe
well, right.
If you have this trait, you are like as if you...
Okay, so you could go like that. There are a lot of ways to understand what the point here of this Agadita is, but...
Statistically today, I forget the exact proportions, but you find that a lot of gerim, okay, there is a lot of Jewish DNA traced back. It doesn't have to go that far.
Okay, and that's the other way to say it. The other way to say it is that that gerim now are kind of returns rather than initial joiners. Okay, in any case, let's just... Okay, the Amar Rav Nosson Bar Abba Amar Rav is another observation. Kol ha-metzape al shulchan ha-chirim. Anybody who lives off of somebody else's support, meaning that they are not independent, but that they depend upon other people for handouts, or their support. Olam choshech ba'ado. The world is black for them. Shenemar, nodeidu lalechem, ayeida kinachon bi'ado. Yom choshech. Okay, I don't know this pasuk. Rav Chista Amar Af Chayav Enam Chayim, and not only that, but even their lives are not like life, and consistent with the next brisa Tan Rabbanan Gimel Chayehim Enam Chayim. There's a brisa has the same kind of a concept that there are three people whose lives are not really living. The Elu Hain Hametzape LeShulchan Chaveiro, somebody who lives off of somebody else. Which is unfortunately in our world, for some reason, this particular problem is somehow glossed over. No, and right in the yeshiva world and the welfare attitudes and I don't know. It's just the thing. It's just terrible. Anyway, Nisha Ishto Moshelas Alav, somebody whose wife is Moshelas Alav. Okay, and Misha Yisurim Moshelim Begufo, and somebody who is like in the hospital or around the hospital. I don't know. Beisham Reimaf Misha Ein Lewela Chaluk Echad, and others say also somebody who only has one article of clothing, one shirt, one thing. What's so bad about it? Rashi explains what's so bad about this. He says, well, you know, if you only have one thing, you can't launder it, and therefore you're gonna have lice. In Tanakama, why doesn't Tanakama also add this? Why isn't it obvious that this belongs on the list? No, because there's at least a remedy. Efshar d'me'ayin me'manei. You could at least pick off the little lice from the clothes. So you're good then. So that's the only thing to be concerned about. I mean, having one chaluk. So, I don't know. All right, so should we go a little bit further? Should we stop here? What's our vote? We have a vote. We got to stop. Oh, man, sorry.
I'll just leave the right
glass for last. Well, yeah. Actually, the next one is not so long.
Yeah, aren't we supposed to be on some sort of like a total
Rosh Hashanah?